Hi, my name is Nathan Totten, and today I'm joined by
Nick Harris.
There you go. Cloud. Oh, yeah. This is cloud cover, right? I guess the only important thing is that that they know my name. And today we have a special. We're not even going to try this again. We're just going to run on through. Today we're joined by Johnny Halife, right?
Yeah. Bam.
Got it. We didn't have to write the pronunciation on the board like I've had to do in the past. So he's why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do?
What?
we'll move over to that in a second. Just what do you do?
Who are you?
Who
do you
are
work
you?
For Microsoft?
No, no. So I work for a startup called Murely. We do like huge canvas on the web that you can use to mix content and grow ideas with other people, collaboratively, real time and offline too. So that's what I do.
Cool, cool. And you're hosted on one of our competitors' products? No.
No, we're hosted actually on Windows Azure websites.
Cool.
And I think we are the biggest one hosted
Sweet.
In there, so pretty cool.
Cool. All right. With that, let's why don't we just talk a little bit about what you work on.
And now, our feature presentation.
So let me show you a quick demo. So I'll just create an account in here, put Johnny test, Johnny at test. com, Johnny 222, and some secure password. I'll create an account. So here we are. As I said, the idea of our product is to get all the content mapped in a big space, like collect stuff from the web, bring your own notes, videos, and stuff that is around. Then do it with people, like you can work, I can invite you, you can work on the same stuff with me. And once we are done, create like a presentation on layer on top of the thing. So I'll create a cloud cover mural. So basically it will ask me who do I want to invite. I'll skip that out, some suggestions on how do we drag and drop stuff. So let's start. Like, I will create a sticky note, say hello everyone, some help on how do we drag and drop stuff on the web. We can show you that it works, we move stuff, we can like duplicate stuff, we can do pretty cool stuff like going on something like this and doing, I don't know, cloud cover. I don't wanna.
You don't want to join the social experience?
No. And I can drag and drop a link to here, and you would see that I have a link on the cloud cover. I can manipulate stuff, like copy it over. It will say like, hey, did you know that you have multi-select? Yes, it's just what I did. So once you create stuff, like I can say like, okay, I want to drop this, and say like, we like.
Bam.
The cloud cover show, and we can say like, we are fans of this.
So it's kind of like a note-taking, organizational stuff. And you were showing me where you can actually add like calendars and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Too, right?
So we have these like spaces where we have like baked some templates. They are easy, so you can do whatever you want with them, but I can drop like a calendar in here, or let me zoom out. I can put a calendar for the week, for the month. We have some like business, like more business oriented stuff, like a business model canvas. So if you're on startup and you're working with that, you can like use it to collaborate with people and do that. So now that I have dropped all of this here, what I would do is, I have this tab here that it's called the show tab, where I can go and drag like a frame here and say like, this will be my first slide. And I will add another one that says like, this will be my second one, and a third one over the sticky note. So we like play with the camera. So let's go into presentation mode. And now I will take me to the first slide. Now let's go to the second one, and now let's go to the third one.
Cool.
So basically, that is what the app does. We're working much more features like chat and real-time collaboration stuff. We already have that. You can join and play with your friends here.
Cool.
So that is what we do.
Cool. And the, I mean, the, so the real there's a couple really cool things you've been telling me about as far as like how you built the app. So for one, it's all HTML5 JavaScript. You can't necessarily see that it's not a Flash app here, but this is entirely HTML, which is, you know, I mean, this is certainly one of the more complex and rich HTML apps I've seen, which is pretty cool. And then on the back end, you guys are using, you said, Windows Azure websites and Node.js, correct?
Yes, exactly. So we are all HTML5. There is no external plugin, nothing that you have to download or install, or even have installed like Flash, Silverlight, anything. It's pure HTML5. We are running this on Azure on the websites. We are using Node.js. We are backing on our store on MongoDB, so it's a pretty like lean experience for developing. It's a huge client app. You wouldn't imagine the things that we're doing. Like all those animations are CSS3. So we're doing I think the best that the browsers can do. So we're playing on every device, so you can try it on. Like we're working on i10. We're working on iPad. You are working on iPhone. So it's like a compelling story. We are always trying to have the same experience, HTML5, pretty fast, using CSS for animation, hardware-accelerated HTML and transitions. All of these for every device. We're not right now targeting any particular like platform. It's not that we have like an iPad app or something. We're all on the browser. Cool. We believe that the browser will work. So.
Cool.
Nice.
Cool. So, right, you said, and I think you said right now you don't actually support IE, correct? It's Chrome and Safari and Firefox.
Exactly.
But you're working on IE, right?
Yeah, we're baking in support.
We're gonna get fired again for having a guest that doesn't.
For IE10, probably you would see this pretty soon. We are just finishing some details. Basically, IE10 works out of the box. We'll have to do some special work to get it working on i9.
Oh, yeah.
But so far, i10 has been a great dev experience like for us. Yeah. We have to add some prefixes into the CSS to support like transitions and stuff like that. That is not really, not really standard, but it's supported like Chrome supports it, like using prefix stuff.
Yep.
And we're really looking forward to have like a big support for multi-touch events. i10 is the only web browser that has a desktop user trigger multi-touch events
cool.
on the desktop. So we are definitely looking forward to have that. With all these cool tablets running Windows 8 coming
cool.
soon, we think that would be awesome for us. So that those are the things that we are working on i10 and related stuff.
Cool. So on the so what, can you show us like some code or at least talk about, you know, kind of how you built the back end, you know, what technologies you, I mean, you use. I assume you're using like you're not using WebSockets since it's not supported yet on Windows Azure websites.
Yeah,
I assume you will eventually.
Yeah, so basically what we are doing here, I can show you some code. So we have an Express app. We have our routes in here. Basically we what we are doing is we are using like a operation model where we model what happens on the board. Like you change a property, who changes it, when. We send that back batch to the server. We will handle it in here. This class that we call the remote operation message, what it will do is it will grab all the stuff that we are doing, turn it into a huge MongoDB upsert, which is kind of update or insert.
Mm-hmm.
And we will just leverage the concurrency management of MongoDB engine and have that persisted on our database. Once that completes, we are using a WebSocket notification service that it's called Pusher. What we are doing there is we're just grabbing the same messages that we sent and post them to an HTTP endpoint that then will publish that information to all the connected clients into the same socket.
So you are using WebSockets just through a third party service.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
So we tried. I mean, before when we were like spiking with Node and trying to see which were our host. We thought about hosting it ourselves. We did it for a time, trying to like falling back into long polling and all that. Truth is, it for us and for our cost model and scalability model, it is much easier to like think in terms of messages going between the client and the server, and then just using an external service that we like have an SLA. They manage the concurrency, because one of the challenges that we will probably be facing, because our steady growth, we will maybe end up creating our own WebSocket solution, is the multi-server. Like when you scale, sockets are connected through one node, and we have many nodes. Well, right now we have two, but we can have many nodes.
I see.
And the fact that we shared memory and stuff like that between the sockets will be like clumsy to manage. So right now we stick with a vendor and we defer all that problems to them, and that's awesome for us.
Cool.
Nice. So maybe we can see a little bit in the portal.
Yeah. So
see sort of what you're using there and some of the diagnostics.
If you see here, we have a
nice
lot of traffic going on. We have spikes with errors, something happening here. But if you see, there is like an average of like 50,000 requests that we're handling.
When per hour?
I don't know. So this is good feedback.
7 days.
So
yeah, this is 24-hour periods on the blocks.
Yeah, so you see that goes, this is probably weekend.
Yeah.
So we found out
people slack off at work.
Yeah, so they don't work
maybe
on weekends.
People are using it at work.
Probably they are using it at work. So
I'm sure Facebook is the same. Like nobody uses Facebook on the weekend. It's like, oh, I'm bored, I'm going to go on Facebook at work.
So we have spikes on the week. The week that we went, announced on TechCrunch, we were serving like a million requests per hour.
Nice. And how are you using reserved extra large instances, like three of them, or?
I'll show you. We are using just one core 1.75 gigabytes of memory on two instances, and that's it. Like we are using reserve. We don't want to run into any noisy neighbors or people doing screwing up our app. Yep. So we make sure that we run on our own boxes, but we're running like two instances, really small.
Yep.
This came here after we did like an exercise of like loading the site with 500 concurrent users and testing like which was the best response time. We thought maybe we can scale up and put like a extra large and just one instance. We found out that the scalability equation depends on how many machines do you have and how many connections do you have to MongoDB. So we end up tweaking those two variables, and this is like the best configuration that we have up to now. We have like during work hours, we have like concurrent 200 users using the app constantly. So to improve that response time, we are doing that.
Cool. And it's all working pretty well. I mean, you said, I know you've told me you've hit a few bumps here and there. It's still a preview. You guys are risking it and putting this in production without any SLA or anything. But but for the most part, it's been worked really well for you.
Yeah, the fact that we are a startup and that we didn't want to, like when we started, we look for something that was easy and fast. We are doing like 20 deployments per day, so that's around 150 deployments weekly.
Wow.
If we stick with the old model with the web role and all that,
it'll take a long time. Yeah.
So how are you doing your deployments?
So we are using Git-based deployments. It might take a while to load because there it is. So as you see, it shows the last five, but we have our CI environment. When we are using GitHub, the private repos. Mm-hmm. So we have to have a man in the middle, because right now there is no support for...
So there is now. But, so, yeah. But it doesn't do build. You guys use Jenkins or something?
Yeah,
or?
So we are using Jenkins. Actually, we're using Jenkins hosted on a Windows Azure Linux VM.
Okay, nice.
So to keep everything close, we are using a really like extra large or something like that VM. Our deployment time is around 3 minutes. Like it's a little bit less than that, but in average it's around 3 minutes. Right. What we do is we're using GitHub private repos. We commit in there. That notifies Jenkins. Jenkins will get the code. We're using Google Closure to like make the JavaScript
minify, compile, all that,
and all that stuff.
Cool.
Type checking. We are really happy when we saw that TypeScript was going out because it's something that we are using.
You do type JavaScript or what do you like
so
through what?
Google Closure.
Oh, okay.
So they
have that's right. Yeah,
through
yeah.
Java annotations.
That's right.
I like this
because they do it through like basically it's like comments, right? You put a comment and say this is a string.
Yeah. So I can show you here, like we have some JavaScript code and it says like this is XHR manager and it will check it on our build process. So basically, it will grab that code, compiles it, it will bundle all our external, like jQuery, we're using one library for multi-touch, mm-hmm. we have a plugin for CSS transforms and stuff like that. We bundle all that stuff into one single JavaScript file.
Nice.
We upload it to a blog, we like mark it, like never expire, we put a version in there. That's mainly because we want to roll back.
Yep.
So if we want to roll back, we have like everything version using the same version number that comes out of our CI environment.
Okay.
We do the same for CSS. We bundle all our CSS. We like minify that, gzip that, and all that stuff. Once that is done, we run some unit tests from the node thing.
What test library do you use?
We use Mocha.
Okay.
And we have some assertions written with should, so it's kind of fancy. I can show you some like tests here, unit. So we have our logic going on in here. So we have board request token, the identifier, blah, 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 blah. We run it through make. So I don't know if I broke anything, but we'll give it a try. So yeah, we have like some tests running in there. It runs pretty fast, so it's 45 milliseconds. Imagine how fast that runs on a huge VM on Azure.
Nice.
So after that, we create like a mini version of our repo. We copy stuff using NPM. So NPM has a file that it's called NPM ignore.
Mm-hmm.
So we package the minimum stuff because we do not include like static files and all that because that is already on blobs.
Okay.
And we create like a mock Git repo that we will use to push up into the app.
I see.
So they ask why we want to use like FTP. Basically, even though we are not versioning a full repo on Azure, we want the rollback.
Yep.
So that is a feature that comes from using Git.
Yep. And the deployments are faster also, right? It's doing like a diff deployment instead of with FTP you'd have to manage the diff yourself or just copy everything over.
So we keep that folder on Jenkins that has only the like the JavaScript server side files, our views that are rendered that are HTMLs that we replace with particular like version for the scripts, we remove all the spaces. So if you do like view source in here, you'll see that this is that comes out from the server. We do all of this in our CI process and it publishes and works.
Cool.
All that takes less than 3 minutes. So that's
pretty sweet.
Nice.
So we have a way to fix a bug in production and put it on every machine in 2 minutes.
Nice. So do you deploy to a staging environment or do you with all your tests you just deploy right to production every time? Or how do you manage that?
So and after one more thing that we do is we are using Selenium tests.
Okay.
That run over the app once it is deployed. So basically we are using common sense, which is if something will break or I don't know, changing security model or changing the way we store things or adding security layers and stuff like that, we'll go through staging.
Yeah.
And we have another experimental environment where we staging is fully isolated. Then we have the experimental environment, which in essence is the same as production, like runs against the same database, but with the updated bits. And then we will do like pull request and go into production straight.
Okay.
Depending on the thing. If I need to fix something, like a typo or a JavaScript error or compilation errors, we get a bunch of Go closure compilation error when we commit because we not always annotate our code and stuff that. So those kind of things go straight to production. We don't even need to go through staging. So yes, we have, in fact, we have the three websites in here. So we have Mirelgi, Mirelgi Experimental, and Mirelgi Staging, which are our three sites.
Cool.
All three have the same deployment process. All three do the same, compile, run tests, and all that, just to make sure that we are always testing something that will look the same in production. So yeah, basically that's our workflow.
Cool.
Another cool thing that you mentioned is that we are running all Macs. So we have some strange scenario. Well, the only person that uses a Windows PC on our company is a designer.
Weird. Yeah, that's a bit odd.
Backwards compared to
it is what, like, everyone said, oh, you're a designer, you need a Mac. And the person that is running the design thing is using the Windows PC. Yeah. And we have, like, a huge Windows PC that we use with Windows 8 to develop.
Okay.
Like, to test our stuff, but all our devs, we are all Mac-based. And we've been using, and that's a cool thing that we found in the websites and the CLI, is that we don't have to mess with anything. With Windows, we try doing like Git Azure open source project. We try with web roles. The fact that for debugging you need RDP and getting into Windows, downloading certificates and stuff like that wasn't an option for us. Because we already invest on the boxes.
Yep.
So this perfectly fits our scenario in terms of we don't even know that it's running on Windows. And our cool thing for the Node Windows guys is that we don't hit any major, like, this works on Windows, but not in the Mac and stuff like that.
That's cool.
We are running the same NPM packages and all that completely transparently, so the same code that runs on this machine runs there. And the fact that we are using Node is mostly because installing it on Linux or Windows on the Mac takes like 5 minutes to have the full-fledged dev environment run.
It's pretty, I mean, you have it's pretty cool. You dev on a Mac, your build server is Linux, and your production is actually Windows. I mean, Windows Azure websites runs IIS Node, so it's actually, I mean, that's pretty cool, and the fact that it all works as it should is quite awesome.
I mean, for us, at the beginning we were like, we don't know. Like, our biggest fear was the fact that it would run on a Windows and we are running on the Mac and path issues. We don't know. Like, most of the or all the Node stuff is open source, so I don't know how much people pay attention to path or trying to using some OS specific thing. There are people that build like C extensions and stuff like that, but they're working. Like MongoDB driver needs C++, and so far it's been compiling and running in Azure. And I mean, it's pretty cool, the deployment and all that, so we're really happy. And we are happy that we hit like a million requests with two small instances.
Yeah. Nice.
They're not spending too much money on that.
It's like $25 a month or something.
Yeah.
Nice.
And working so far great. Yeah.
So one of the other really interesting things that I found with you guys is actually how you got to the path of using Node on Windows Azure. You didn't start there, right? You started with You said Java. What did you start with, Java or Python something?
So our first prototype was a Java app that was running on Google App Engine.
Okay.
We were using Google Clojure and all that, and we said, like, maybe this like fits all together.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Java is slow. We didn't like Java at all. And we started having problems with deployment times, like it was slow, and also if I want to port this code to any other vendor,
mm-hmm.
because again, we're a startup, we are going through a path of learning what people want to do with our product, and the growth comes with the time. So we thought, like, if we want to move this, because of all of the abstractions that we have to put in there, like you cannot use HTTP straight, like all the standard Java libraries,
mm-hmm.
doesn't work. Like you need to put a particular Google blessed library to make it run. So we didn't like that. We started like building in parallel some Node API that we were interacting both at the same time. Hosted on Heroku, and we were like building there until we move everything out of there. Basically, we end up in Node. We found that as our business is the Mural is not creating NPM packages,
mm-hmm.
so we went and grabbed plenty of NPM packages. I can show you, like, we are almost 20 or something like that. So we have that.
Quite a bit.
So all of this, like, we are using this cool feature where we install like Torvald straight from GitHub.
Nice.
There is a session package that I fork and fix to work with 0.8.2.
Oh, okay.
So that in Heroku installed, like every time we deploy,
okay.
it will pick the right node version and reinstall every package and then swap. Basically, that worked like 2 minutes by itself.
Okay.
When we started doing our testing in Azure, we found out that the updates are in place. So that means the code is copied over, like overwritten on the share between the machines, and the Node.js will pick up the changes and restore it. So that is under a second deployment. Like, you'll copy a diff because it's just a diff.
Yep.
You put it on the share and it will restart.
And then
the
node restart. And even, it's not even that IIS restarts or anything, it's actually just node. No. Node sort of recycles.
Yeah, it's our app pool.
Yep.
So the cool thing is that NPM itself, if you have the node modules on the same folder, like you do NPM install and you already have the version that you require, they won't download anything because you already have that.
Because it's already there.
So our normal deployment time could even be improved since we are running two packages on the edge because our packages that we're working on.
Mm.
So those packages are downloaded each time because the version changes. I mean, because NPM has to go up there, look up which is the latest version downloaded, compare with what you have local. And that is kind of time-consuming is like 3 seconds.
Yeah, but not too bad.
Like, time-consuming if you're a robot.
So for us, it's like if we settle those packages, we think we're really close. We can like even have a cut in like 10 seconds on our deployment time. When we started doing all this, our deployment time was 20 minutes, around 20-15. We are now under 3,
which counts the deploy to get everything. Do the build, the test, compile, then deploy to Windows Azure websites.
From a merge of a pull request or a push to our master branch, to have that running on our servers, it's 2 minutes 30 something seconds.
Nice. That's pretty good.
So
upload to Blob Store. I mean, you're doing a ton of stuff.
Everything.
So that's
it's
cool.
Like, we compress every file, put a GZIP in there, uploading only those that change, adding headers to the blobs just to make them expire, marking every CSS with the version. We actually have a custom process that goes through every JavaScript and CSS, look for links to images that we have locally, check the MD5, and add that as a question mark version, so we bust cache in if we have changed an image.
Yeah, nice. That's really cool.
So if you see, we have like tons of images.
Yep.
So
all and it hashes all the images to check. Wow, that's really cool.
So I can, like, I don't know if I have like our Jenkins. So if you see the log for the build process, it's pretty long.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is like, if you see, we're generating the MD5, running a regular expression on the stuff, compiling the code, doing another compilation to stuff everything together, uploading stuff, until we get to the like the Azure piece.
Which takes 2 seconds at the end, basically.
Like, it's this, like, Git Azure push and stuff like that.
Nice.
So it works. Like, we are doing tons of stuff, and it's hosted on a VM there. Like, it's a Linux VM. We use like apt get install Jenkins,
cool,
and start building and on top of that.
Nice. Sweet. So the one, so is that, and everything else you said, you're using a service of some kind, storage or third party like pusher.
Yeah.
That so the you don't actually maintain really for your production apps. You're not actually maintaining any VMs or anything like that. Or?
No. Okay. No. We try running our own MongoDB.
Too much work.
Yeah. I mean, to maintain a database, you need to be like a DBA or something, or understanding whether your queries will fit in memory and all those performance things. So I'd rather say like, hey, that is these guys that do hosted Mongo.
Yeah, and who do you use for that?
So we are using MongoHQ right now.
Okay, cool. So which is interesting because they're not even, I mean, not hosted in Azure.
Nope.
Hopefully they will be eventually, but right now you're actually even incurring latency between Azure and their data center, which I believe is on AWS, probably.
So Rackspace.
Or Rackspace, somebody else. But it's, and even that is still performant enough.
Yeah, so we are always, obviously under the second response time, depending on the load. That is a cool feature of Node, that IO will queue up waiting for replies and will still serving customers. We know that we've done some tests of running it inside the data center, even on the same data center, like using the same zone in Azure. And it improved like by the 50%. It's like there is latency. MongoDB works over TCP, so you will definitely need something close because connection will die and stuff like that. So we want that to be fast. We are waiting for it to be on Azure.
Yep.
We know that there are some people building stuff in there. We are going to try it soon. So hopefully that will even increase our performance. We are not using caching, anything like that. We try to understand where our flaws are and how can we improve. Now that we have like 20,000 users, it's the time to improve. When we scale by 100 or something, we won't have time. We will have other scalability issues that we will be worrying. So
do you use CDN for files?
Yes,
for so that's so you use CDN, but nothing, which is interesting. No caching, nothing really on the back end to improve. So.
So far everything comes served through a CDN in terms of client. So we are doing client caching. Like we put expires never. That's why we, if you look at the, as I said, we mark everything with this version. So the JavaScript file and the CSS and everything will run off this particular version. So we can cache it. So as long as we don't do a deployment, which is something that, as you can see here, we do pretty often,
yep.
like every 5 minutes or something.
Nice.
You've been a bit slow today by the looks of things.
So yes, we keep it like for the client.
Cool.
Sometimes like our main JavaScript file is around 800 kilobytes. We just zip that and take that to half. But it's the same, like once you hit the landing page, it will cache
cool.
that. So all the next requests that you perform will be all yeah. cached. You won't need to download the CSS and the JavaScript file.
Yep.
There are two. The fact that we're using two is mainly because we don't want to hit the restrictions between concurrent requests to a single domain.
Yep.
That is a browser limitation. So we figured out that if we have two slots, we will use one for CSS, one for JavaScript. So when they are done, the app is ready. So we don't have to wait on the app to load. That's why we bundle. Like initially, we were using the Microsoft Ajax CDN to load jQuery
yeah,
and all that. But that,
that
was like another request.
Interesting. So that actually was slower.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So the first time is slower for you because you would probably have the CDN version of jQuery, the Microsoft Ajax, cached on your computer because someone else is
yeah.
using it. But in terms of our full app, we'd rather have everything stick into the same file. We download it, it's just zipped, so it's 400 kilobytes. It's not that much. It's a huge file for a JavaScript app, but considering that it's like most of our app is that, it will work. And after that, it's like we're running like through the wire, no cache, anything. We are polling our server, we are sending operations and all that, and right now it's everything like straight through the database. We have our security thing going on. We are looking forward to integrate with all this identity stuff that it's coming from Azure, because we have already like
someone just deployed.
Yep.
I believe they use SignalR for that, so it's
yeah.
real. Yeah, that's funny.
So yeah, so someone is actually deploying a new version. We will see that in like a couple of seconds running. Yep.
Done.
Yep. So there it is.
Perfect timing.
So yeah. So
cool. That's
cool stuff.
That's pretty awesome. Huh. Very cool.
Alright.
You have any other questions or
Do you
have anything to contribute during this show?
You did say you were doing a lot of instrumentation of the users and how they're using your application to help improve the workflows that people are
yeah.
executing through.
Yeah, so basically,
what are you doing for that? How's it done?
So we are using a tracking service called Kissmetrics, and we have everything on the app, like these, and dragging and clicking. We have everything instrumented in terms of what the users do. We create our funnel, which is how do we expect the customers to behave, like, well, they will hit the homepage, and we measure the drops between the steps. And then we also use it like for prioritization in terms of the app itself. So we will go and say, like, how many people are using, I don't know, the commenting, like, like 1%, that's off. Like, we want, if it's easier to keep it in there, we'll keep it in there for not that much because we don't want to clutter the UI.
Yep.
But after that, if nobody's using it, we will just take that out. We will probably, we leave like background compatibility. So if you drop a comment or something into a UI, we will stick to that. But we will let you add new. And we are also running experiments on all of our users. Like you will hit one page, you will hit
the
other one. And
do you use a service for that, or do you just manage that yourself?
So we have like two approaches. So we have we are using another service that it's called Optimizely that will let us change the HTML.
Okay.
For landing page, sign up screen, and stuff like that. And we are leaving a cookie, I think, I don't have it because I'm blacklisted.
You get the most...
like all our team is blacklisted. We don't want to clutter the numbers with
what you're doing.
With our behavior because we'll be like throwing 100 widgets just to test if that is working. So we don't want to mess with the numbers. But we have like a server-side thing that based on your IP address will create a hash. And depending on a mod 2, depending on if want to be AB or ABC, we will do mod 2, mod 3, and stuff like that to see in which bucket you fall. Hmm. And then from the server, we will present you with one page or the other. Yep. And then we will measure results.
Cool. Nice. That's awesome.
We run all of these experiments in like 3,000 or something. Like we wait for a number to be like compelling enough to make a decision.
I see.
And then we kill the one that is not converting us or is the loser from the battle will die. We will just take that off from the code.
That's really cool.
Sounds very... I mean, that's an excellent way to make decisions rather than just what you feel like. I mean, it sounds like you're using a lot of data and...
Yeah,
actually.
I mean, when you are creating a product, there are a lot of things that you think user would do. I won't tell you that we are 100% metrics oriented, but we are becoming now. Like when we were 500 users, well, we don't have enough data to play around with. Now, with these deployment times, like 2 minutes, we can run experiments for a day or something and change as easy as you've seen. And that is like, we have the once we have all the engineering machinery in place, like all this Jenkins stuff, Azure, Git deploy base and stuff like that, it's really easy for us to try something out. If it's not converting, like if everybody that hits that page, it's not converting, we can take that off in like 2 minutes. So.
Cool.
It's how we were working right now.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's it's pretty cool stuff. Yeah, and I mean I'm fascinated by what you guys are doing, and you know I'm pleased that we're actually building stuff that enables you guys to build something so cool and you've had such good luck with it. So that's always good to hear.
Yeah. Really, we're really happy with the decision we made of using Windows Azure websites. Like when you look at it from a communication perspective, people will think more like an underdog, like for someone, you have WordPress. We are running a awesome app with 20,000 users, with 200 concurrent users daily.
And growing quite
and
a
growing,
bit.
And growing like 1,000 users per day without any major trouble. So it's not for hobbyists or people messing around. If you're doing a web app like this, or if you're doing a web app, why not just go and push straight to the cloud? And I mean, we know that at some point we might end up using web roles in terms of like when we need like full VMs and we need like a huge scale. Maybe they bring that scalability level to website.
Yeah.
If not, we may switch. But right now, with this like agility that we're working on, the growing that we're having on the experiments that we're running on users, it's awesome to have like this level of speed to from the dev machine anywhere using everything on the cloud straight to the users, as we've seen. Like, there was no email, no IM, no phone call saying, like, hey, we're going to deploy, pay attention. It's like, in our daily flow, it is like, yeah, I'm done. Would you like to take a look at it? If it's something worth taking a look at it, you will take and we will chat about it and it will push it. If it's a bug, I will, I'll fix it, I push it, and that's it. Like,
cool.
That level of speed is what we really enjoy working with.
Nice.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, that's we'll definitely have to keep in touch and see what you guys continue to build out. So
yeah.
So if people want to visit your site, do you want to do a thing for Bob and we'll get the URL in?
If you go like this, he'll add it there.
Magically.
Like magic.
So I will...
No, oh, you're gonna use Mirali to...
Yep.
There you go. That works too.
So I can...
There you go.
You can go there. I will use our hot pink.
Nice.
White. I don't think so.
Like your shirt.
Nice.
So, go to the site. It's cool for people building things. We use it for like designing the flows of the app itself. So
for note taking, event planning, all kinds. Yeah, you were showing me some
game
pretty
design.
Cool stuff.
Yeah, and also for like, we drop the wireframes. Like if you create wireframing on, I don't remember these fancy browser base.
Like Balsamic.
And you get the images from there, and you drop it in here, and using like this.
Ah, yeah. Oh, that's cool.
You can actually build the flow itself. So you will get people to contribute. We have chat support, so you can chat or leave a message into the mural, so when someone else gets in, he'll like say, hey, take a look at this. We have support for history tracking and stuff like that. So I think for even though we are not like technical people focused, if you're building a product or you work on a team, this is pretty cool way to have meetings or stuff like that and try it out. We also are really open for feedback. So if you try it out, want to shoot us an email or whatever, we're listening to our users and try to give them what they want.
Cool.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for joining us. I think this is one of our most interesting shows. I particularly like the real world scenarios. And I mean, you guys are definitely pushing the edge of Windows Azure and doing some really exciting stuff.
Thank you for inviting me, and hopefully I'll be back on some other show. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, as always, follow us on, do you have Twitter?
Yeah. I can put it
you
in
can go
here.
Like this. Okay. Oh. There you go. Perfect. So follow Johnny, and then, of course, at Cloud Cover Show on Twitter, or Nick and myself will have the links down there, as usual. And we'll put a link to Mirali, I'm sure they got it from your shirt, but just in case, and then to the news. So thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.